My dear Uddhava, persons dedicated to sense gratification, obtained through honoring the Vedic rituals, cannot understand that I am situated in everyone's heart and that the entire universe is non-different from me and emanates from me. Indeed, they are just like persons whose eyes are covered by fog. Kindly repeat after me, my dear Uddhava.
My dear Uddhava.
Persons dedicated to sense gratification.
Persons dedicated to sense gratification.
Obtained through honoring.
Obtained through honoring.
The Vedic rituals.
The Vedic rituals.
Cannot understand.
Cannot understand.
That I am situated.
That I am situated.
In everyone's heart.
In everyone's heart.
And that the entire universe,
is
non-different from me,
and emanates from me.
Indeed,
they are just like persons
whose eyes are covered
by fog.
Purport. The word Ukta Shastraha refers to the chanting of certain Vedic hymns by which one obtains fruitive results in this world and the next. The word Shastra also indicates a weapon, and thus Ukta Shastra also means the weapon used in Vedic sacrifice to kill the sacrificial animal. Persons exploiting Vedic knowledge for bodily gratification are slaughtering themselves with the weapons of materialistic religious principles. They are also compared to those trying to see within a dense fog. The false bodily concept of life, in which one ignores the eternal soul within the body, is a dense fog of ignorance that blocks our vision of God. Lord Krishna therefore begins his instruction in Bhagavad Gita by clearing away the dense ignorance of the bodily concept of life. Religion means the law of God, the Lord's final order or law is that every conditioned soul surrender unto Him, learn to serve Him and love Him, and thus go back home, back to Godhead. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Uddhava, very great personality, actually very intimate associate of Lord Krishna, is receiving very important instructions. Actually, Uddhava was already liberated. These instructions are especially for those who are still conditioned in this material world, in the same way that Krishna has instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna already is a liberated personality, but for our benefit. So the Vedic path, this is the title of this chapter, very nicely explaining how when we are caught up and when we remain on the bodily platform of life, thinking that we are this body. In that kind of bodily consciousness, we cannot understand things properly. Especially we cannot understand about transcendence. And the example being given here is just like someone who's walking in the fog, early morning sometimes, very heavy fog is there. You cannot even drive sometimes. Or cannot even walk, cannot see in front of you more than 1 or 2 feet. So in a similar way, one who is covered by the fog of material consciousness, bodily identification, he is actually doomed to remain in this material world and to continue suffering practically eternally. That is why the expression is given, nitya baddha. There is nitya mukta and nitya baddha. Nitya mukta are those living entities who are eternally liberated, who never come in this material world. They are the eternal associates of Krishna. They are living in Vaikuntha, on different planets, and they are enjoying eternally and the association of the Lord. They are remaining in their eternal, natural, constitutional position of liberated souls, experiencing the qualities of Satchitananda. Krishna, he is described as Satchitananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So living entity, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is his constitutional right, birthright. It is our birthright to actually regain that consciousness of Satchit Ananda. And it is only within that consciousness, or by developing this consciousness, that one can actually be happy. So the Vedic path, Vedic knowledge is actually to make people happy, actually happy. And that happiness, it is given throughout the pages of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter just prior to this one is entitled Devotional Service. Just like in the beginning of the Bhagavatam also, the second chapter, the first canto, very wonderful chapter. What is it? Divinity and Divine Service. Focusing on this dimension of bhakti or devotional service. And it takes the living entity actually a long, long time. Many, many lifetimes. And even when we come in contact, just like all of us who are sitting here in class this morning, at some particular time we have come in contact with this knowledge in so many different ways. But still we see, even though we are maybe 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it is not so easy to attain that liberated stage or platform, because the influence of this material world, the energies of Maya, we call the modes of material nature. Actually, majority of people in the material world, like all of us before we came to Krishna consciousness, don't know about these, what is that, modes, you know. What are these modes? These are like subtle influences which are deeply rooted since practically time immemorial. And that is why nitya baddha. Baddha means condition. Living entity who comes in this material world remains in this material world for practically eternity. Of course, fortunately, we don't... I had difficulty coming from a Christian background, accepting that I would be eternally damned in
know, going to hell for eternity. Didn't seem right. Of course, we do so many things that probably we do deserve, but God is not of that nature that He will eternally, you know, damn, so to speak, or eternally place His servants, because ultimately we are all servants of Krishna, just like parents, they love their children, even though they may at times be mischievous in so many ways. Prabhupada explains, sometimes the father, he will give rasgulla to his child, and the other one he'll slap. But father is father. He loves both. He loves one by giving rasgulla, and he loves one by giving slap, so that he can learn in a loving gesture. So Krishna, he loves actually all of us, even though we are here in the material world, and we have committed, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains, we have committed the most, the greatest sinful activity, the greatest offense that the living entity commits is to reject Krishna. We have said, I don't care for you. I don't love you anymore. And this is actually the greatest offense which has banned us from His eternal blissful association, you see. And therefore we have become covered by these modes of material nature. And unless we are fortunate to come in contact with this knowledge, I was just sharing how when I first came, and when I first attended my first Sunday feast at the Otto Temple in 1974, that's when I first came in contact actually with the Srimad Bhagavatam. To me it was a realization, even though I'm still learning so many things from the Bhagavatam, but to me it was a realization that there are such literatures, you know, standard books of knowledge which don't change and which contain information which one doesn't find in ordinary, you know, novels, isn't it? People like to read books. People like to read books because they want to find out, they want to learn, they want to know. But all the books that we read, I mean, that's, I'm sure, everyone's experience. All the books that we read, even though sometimes we'll come across with a good book, you know, and we'll read it twice, maybe three times, at most four times. You know, after four times, you don't read a book again, unless you come in contact with the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you can read it 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, and still not be satiated in the sense of there's still more to learn. Actually, one is satiated, one is satisfied, but the depth of knowledge in these transcendental literatures is such that one can continue to read and read, because this knowledge, this information is on a transcendental level, and it awakens the dormant spirit soul. And therefore that is why it is so important to, of course, those of us who are fortunate to come in contact with this knowledge. This knowledge is also available in other, Prabhupada explains in some of his purports, how even though one may not have yet come in contact with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is still encouraged to read other scriptures, because Krishna is very kind. He appears at different times in the history to give this knowledge through different individuals, different prophets, different incarnations. So one can make some advancement by following the good instructions which are there also in other shastra. But Prabhupada explains that actually of all the shastra, shastra means scripture, transcendental literatures. And in the purport, of course, Prabhupada also speaks about astra. Astra is another word connected with shastra. Astra means weapon. Those who are kshatriyas, or warriors, within the Vedic culture. They're just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So his astra is actually have to stand and fight against the, you know, those who are upholding the principles of adharma, non God conscious principles. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, of course, the most powerful of all astras for this age of Kali Yuga, and that is, of course, the transcendental chanting of the holy name, which begins this process of purification by which we can begin to understand this transcendental knowledge, especially from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Krishna, throughout the Bhagavatam, as well as so many different incarnations or different personalities, they are constantly explaining, giving different explanations about the process of bhakti or devotional service. Bhakti devotional service is an ocean, a very deep ocean. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu, nectarine ocean of transcendental knowledge, which brings transcendental realization, but it is only available to those who attain a certain perfection of purification, to those who actually are able to become situated in the mode of goodness. That's nicely explained actually in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. When one begins to hear, if one is fortunate to begin hearing this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, then immediately the process of purification begins. And purification means that one becomes less and less influenced by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. In Kali Yuga, mode of ignorance and mode of passion, especially in the cities, when Prabhupada came to New York City, he was coming to the kingdom of, you know, the seat of where mode of passion and mode of ignorance are manifest in their highest or lowest, I guess, depends on which angle you look at it, degree. Prabhupada actually was understanding that he was coming actually, you know, to the most sinful place on the planet. And most of our cities are having in different degrees these lower modes of nature, which keep our consciousness, like it is explained here, covered as like in a fog, very heavy fog. So unless one is fortunate to come in contact, one will remain in that consciousness. Therefore, personalities like Srila Prabhupada, any Vaishnava who is following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, becomes eligible to actually, not only eligible, actually, it becomes a duty and a responsibility for us to share. That is why Srila Prabhupada was getting so much importance, emphasis, isn't it, on book distribution. I remember after joining, I had not shaved up actually right away, because I had made a promise to my best friend that I would attend, I would be his best man at the wedding. And then, you know, other devotees were joining at the other temple and shaving up, and I was really feeling envious. When can I shave up? But I had made that promise, and it, you know, his wedding was like 3 months down the line, so I had to wait 3 months. And then finally I went to that wedding, and after returning, the first thing I did is I shaved up, you know. And I was feeling, you know, like, wow, you know, just shaving up, that was my experience, was something very significant. It was like I felt lighter. Not only physically, of course, hair doesn't, you know, it's not so heavy, but I felt like liberated a little bit. I remember when I went to attend my friend's, you know, he was my closest friend, actually. We had worked together after graduating and whatnot. And so I was indebted to him in different ways. He was 1 year older than me, etc., like that. And I remember bringing some books. You know, I remember bringing some books and Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I even went in the street. I mean, you know, I wasn't shaved up or anything, but I just had that kind of, you know, it was contagious, you know, and when you join in those early days, still is actually. Krishna consciousness is contagious. It's a wonderful, contagious, positive disease, you know. And I remember I distributed and some people took. I was amazed, and some people took the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And this remains. I mean, you know, after 30 plus years, close to 40 years down the line, I was in Vancouver just a couple of days ago, and lo and behold, I was going to say the devotee. The devotee who gave me my Bhagavad Gita on Rideau Street in Ottawa was in Sharanagati.
His name
is Vicharu. You know him?
I worked with him for 3 years.
You're kidding, is it? Huh? Yeah. I was always thinking, when will I ever meet this person? You know, because that was way back in 73. Wow. In the summer of 73, I was walking on Rideau Street. And, you know, I had already, I was proud. You know, we're all proud before we become devotees, and it takes a while for us to, you know, to control that. That's a real problem, isn't it? You know, pride. Krishna explains to Arjuna, you know, I'm revealing this knowledge to you because you're not proud, you know. So I was proud, and then, so this, I saw this devotee. I had never spoken to a devotee. I'd seen devotees, I was curious about devotees, but I was afraid to actually speak to them because they had this little thing on the forehead, you know. To me, that was a problem, you know, why they're having that, you know. What is that? So I saw this devotee coming, you know, and I thought, oh, he's going to... I knew they were distributing books because a couple of years before, we had gone, you know, from my hometown, we had gone, a group of us, to attend some karate tournament. And then our instructor had stopped at a red light in Toronto, downtown. And as we were stopped in the car, on the right side was a group of these Hare Krishna people, you know. And then he made one remark. He looked at these guys and he told us, all of us, he said, "These guys are profound." Yeah. These guys, you know, they
open the path.
Yeah. He was like my first instructor guru, you know. And then years later, when I was in Ottawa, then I saw this, well, it was Vicharu, right? And he was like, you know, bright brahmachari, you know, in his early 20s. And I was in my mid-20s. He was, I guess, in his mid-20s. He's a little younger than I am. And then I had, you know, taken the effort of going to my home library to search out, you know, what a good book would be. And I had discovered one book entitled 100 Best Books in the World. So I thought, surely there must be one good book in there, you know, out of 100. So I turned the pages, and Bhagavad Gita. Wow. You know, one of the 100 books that was in there was the Bhagavad Gita. So, I read the summary, and then right after leaving the library, I started going to the different libraries, bookstores, there was no Bhagavad Gita anywhere. So I had to order it, and finally I got it. I got my penguin edition of the Bhagavad Gita. It was like, you know, very thin, and I read it. It was interesting, but it was a little bit, you know, bland, you know. When Vicharu, you know, he had this brick, this, you know, thick Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, red, you know, I remember, you know, shining color, right? Red color, and full of pictures inside. So he handed me this Bhagavad Gita, and he asked me, "Have you read the Bhagavad Gita?" And I said, "Yes." Because I had, you know, but I was proud, you know, I thought, you know. So, and then, so he spoke to me a little bit. He told me there was a place, a temple, gave me a visiting card, and then he said, you can take this Bhagavad Gita, just give a little, you know, donation. And actually, I gave a little donation. I gave a little. and then shortly after that, I went to the temple and attended my first Sunday program, where it was the first time that I heard a class, you know, Sunday class, and first time I heard about Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, is our life and soul. I mean, we come to know after some time that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic knowledge, isn't it? Given to us by the author or the writer of the Vedic literatures, Srila Vyasadeva. I mean, Vedic knowledge, we come to know, is the vastest, you know, I mean, is the most vastest? is the most, I'm French-Canadian, don't mind. is the most vast, you know, most, there's no literature that can compare. That's why Prabhupada compares the Vedic literatures as the unabridged, you know, like to an unabridged dictionary. I had received the Penguin edition, the abridged, you know, but the unabridged is the vast knowledge from the Vedic literatures summarized by, otherwise for us in Kali Yuga it is impossible to start, I mean, to start reading all of that literature. Anyways, most of it, due to Kali Yuga, most of what Srila Vyasadeva has translated and given, or written rather, is we learn from the Goswamis only maybe, what is it? 6 or 7%, yeah. Can you imagine? You know, 6-7% of what Srila Vyasadeva has given us is available today. But even that small percentage is sufficient, you know, I mean, it's sufficient to keep us going for a whole lifetime. I mean, even Prabhupada's books. Just Prabhupada's books in itself. Of course, Prabhupada wanted us to read other books as well. In any event, this is actually our weapon. A weapon of knowledge is the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And that is why they are, according, I'll just finish on this point here, according to the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he explains that actually in Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is personally present in four ways. One of them is actually in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Another one is in the presence of Srimati Radharani. I mean Srimati Radharani. Srimati Tulsi Devi. Tulsi Devi. And then in the presence of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas. Bhagavatam, Srimati Tulsi Devi, and also the holy Ganga Ganges. So we're very fortunate, actually, anyone who comes to a temple immediately, you know, especially at this time in the morning, here, can come in contact with Krishna by hearing Bhagavatam. If one comes a little earlier, can attend Tulsi Puja, and of course, associate with the devotees. Of course, the Lord is directly present, as we know, also in His holy name, and especially in Kali Yuga, that is the process, recommended process, by which one can cultivate this transcendental knowledge and make advancement in spiritual life, so that one, by receiving this knowledge as Uddhava has received, can become qualified to actually go back to the kingdom of God and eternally be happy living with the Lord and His eternal associates. I will close here and thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to, it was my second visit to San Diego a long time back. I don't know, maybe you were not here, Bhatri. I mean, you were here, but not here, you know.
Usually my state.
I visited also for a short time. That was maybe like close to 20 years back. And you still have the restaurant here?
No.
Okay.
Why? Need lunch? We'll take care of it.
I remember there was a nice restaurant at that time. But restaurant knows a restaurant. When you visit a temple, I know that prasadam is close. Any questions or comments? Yes?
I have a comment, there's no question.
Yes.
Don't forget Charanamrita. Charanamrita is equivalent to the Ganges. It flows over the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yes.
So you can also get that association.
Yes, yes. Yes, very good point. I just summarized what I heard from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I mean, the Arjavigra form of the Lord is also the Lord directly.
Yeah.
The holy name is the Lord directly. Charanamrita, definitely. And one of the most powerful ways to actually make advancement as well. Yes. That was your comment and question.
Because the Charanamrita flows over the Lord, to the Lord, the Ganges flows over the Lord, the Lord becomes the Ganges. So it's actually
equivalent. Yes. Very nice. Yes. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Sri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Prabhupada
Ki Jai.